Hello, a very warm welcome to you. This is the Gita Decoded, and we are at episode 37 on what is now chapter 9. Sister Denise is with us in the studio, and she is here to explain her understanding of one of India's most ancient scriptures. Sister Denise, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We are almost at the end of chapter 9, and we left the last episode being in awe of the powerful use of words and the sweet invitation that God was offering, and also the understanding of karma that was shared as far as one's relationship with God is concerned. I now want to focus, Sister Denise, on verses 27 and verses 30, which goes, "Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give, whatever austerities you perform, Arjuna, do that as an offering to me." That is opening a door, isn't it?
Yes.
And Sister Denise, it is one of those heart verses.
But it's also got a lot of information in it, because it says that everything you do, if you do in remembrance of God, that act becomes a divine act, a sacred act, you see. Eating, doing, even the austerities, everything, if it's done in remembrance of God, well, that is yoga.
I see that the rest of this chapter, Sister Denise, deals with the consequences of including God in one's daily life. It's also a very warm invitation in verse after verse. Verse 32 reads, "They who take refuge in me, Arjuna, even if they are born of those whose wombs are evil." That is a very descriptive statement. "Women, Vaishyas, I hope I got the pronunciation right, even Shudras, also go to the highest goal." Verse 33, after that, "How much more easily then the pure Brahmins and the devoted royal seers, having attained this impermanent and unhappy world, devote yourself to me." 34, Sister Denise ends with, "With mind fixed on me, with mind fixed on me, be devoted to me, sacrificing to me, make reverence to me, thus steadfast with me as your supreme aim, you yourself shall come to me." From verses 26 onwards is a very powerful invitation, a warm invitation, a loving invitation, and also the karma of what is to be attained. What is the message in this? And you know what is of interest to me, Sister Denise? This has been issued centuries ago, and yet so few people accept God's invitation. Why is this the case?
Well, I think no. I think there are a lot of people who do think about, talk about, and who do practice doing actions in remembrance of God. Because you see, the thing is that what's at stake here is the aim to become free from karmic bondage. So God is saying, look, it's really very simple. When you're in relationship with other people, you're interacting with other people, other humans, your karmic accounts are with people, and these become karmic bondages. And the way to become free from karmic bondages with people is to do all the same things, but you're doing it in remembrance of God, so that you're actually, your direct action is with God. For example, if I give you a glass of water, that I'm having a karma with you. But if I give you a glass of water in remembrance of God, then my karmic account is with God, you see. And I'm not having a karmic account with you. Because you can't have direct karma with God, because God doesn't have a body. But any action you do in remembrance of God is a karma with God. And your karma with God liberates you from karma with people. People, places and things are the things that keep you in bondage. So it's a beautiful invitation, but I think the difficulty, you raised the question of, if we know all this, why don't we do it? The difficulty is that the concept of the omnipresence of God means it's not possible to do something in remembrance of someone who's everything and everywhere. You don't know where to focus your attention. But if you know that God is someone, somewhere, albeit incorporeal, in the world of Brahmand, the world of the element of light, but you can still have your focus of attention on the being of God, and then perform actions under his direction, and then those actions become akarma, neutral action, and you start to become free from the bondage of action. This is a very, very important and beautiful way to release oneself from the bondages of action.
Sister Denise, I would now like to do a synopsis of the entire chapter 9. How would you say the concept of omnipresence has hindered people's relationship with God? Because this is one of the most clearest chapters that blasts the omnipresence myth, for want of a better word, to pieces. But yet many still believe that he is omnipresent. How has this affected people's relationship with God?
Well, this is the thing. There are many people who do feel that you cannot make contact with God. He's on a whole different level. He's a different type of being. It's out of range. And then when they have been told, well, it's okay, God is everywhere, God is in everything, and it comes in the Gita many times. So then you just have to be kind of connected with this all-pervasive energy. But according to my understanding, what you can be connected with is, in that case, it's not God, but it's the energy of matter. And when you are connected with the energy of matter, you're still in bondage to matter. So that is a big hindrance. If, on the other hand, you say, okay, there is the energy of matter, which is the energy of matter, and it is also in a Tamo Pradhan state at this time, then you cannot become Sato Pradhan by connecting with something Tamo Pradhan. That's not possible. If you want to connect with God, it has to be out of the machinery of the three gunas, where the condition of the material world, even on its most subtle level, is still Tamo Pradhan. So God as the Supreme Being, Adi Bhuta, Adi Dev, Adi Atma, this, you know, in the Brahmand, in the Supreme Region, there your focus of attention, your Buddhi Yoga, is totally off earth and into a dimension which is where the three gunas don't operate. So you're remembering God as the Supreme Being in the Supreme Abode, where there is no falling from the state of perfection. And so this is much more, you know, effective, much easier, much more straightforward. And so this is really what we do in Brahma Kumaris. So we just realize that there is, you know, what's called as the three worlds. And I think in the Gita, the three worlds are referred to. So in the material world, there is the three gunas. In the subtle regions, it's a different story. And then the incorporeal world is the world of nirvana, the world where nothing changes. So that is beyond the three gunas. The in-between world is a complicated thing that we won't look at right here. But just to know that there is the idea of three worlds. Yeah, you do need to really study these things in order to become truly free from illusions, from confusion about what is real, what's not real. So, yeah, it's definitely not so easy for people to know if they've got it right. So there are many hindrances.
Sister Denise, let us look at the title, The Yoga of Royal Knowledge and of Royal Mystery. I think that one has to learn to appreciate the depth of what God is offering.
That is true, but you know, Raj Vidya specifically refers to politics. And so calling it royal knowledge is very wonderful because it makes it very accessible to anybody who's in politics or not in politics or in a position as a ruler or not. But if you look at the history of the Gita, it's very much for the rulers.
Mm.
And so the rulers need to know how to rule. And one of the difficulties of power is it corrupts.
Mm.
So the big question is, if God is going to put power in your hands, you need to know how to wield power, how to not get corrupted by it. And so the way I see this is that if you are a ruler, you have everything. Everyone is at your feet. You have absolute perfect power over everything and everyone. How will you not abuse it? This is the question.
Mm.
So the most important thing is to keep yourself, even if you're the ruler of the whole world, you must keep yourself under God.
Mm.
You cannot remove God. You have to be under God. So the way that you stay under God is to perform every action in the remembrance of God.
Mm. So the message that Sri Krishna has for Arjuna in chapter 9 is, if you want to become a king, hear this and do this.
Yes.
Okay. So this is not a message for the ordinary man. This is a message for somebody who wants to take over an empire.
Well, no, I think that it is a message for an ordinary man, because even your family home is a kingdom.
Oh, so it's contextual.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even within your family home, there's going to be someone, usually the father, the head of the household, he has absolute jurisdiction over what happens in that family. And if he becomes a tyrant, that's miserable for everybody. But if he does everything in remembrance of God, there's a very good chance that he will not abuse his power. And this is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world today is full of abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes tremendous misery for huge numbers of people.
Mm. In chapter 9, and this is not the only chapter in which this is done, but particularly chapter 9. God is very clear to Arjuna and to the rest of us. If you come to me, I promise you, my child, I will give you the return of whatever feelings you have for me. Okay? Yet, Sister Denise, why is it that people still go to the gods with the small g? And not the big G. No, okay.
No, I think his promise is not, if you come to me, it's not that.
Is God saying to Arjuna, if you want the return...
There's no if.
There is no
There's
if.
There's no if.
Yes, Denise, what is God's message to Arjuna in chapter 9 that is so difficult for people to comprehend?
Well, I think the one thing that is of particular interest is that God is saying it really doesn't matter whether you understand me correctly or incorrectly, but if in good faith you believe in me to be this or that or the other, because you're believing that to be me, I will give you the return. I give you the return of your faith, you see. And this is what happens throughout the world. There's lots of different people who believe in God in different ways, with deep sincerity. And so God will give them the return of that. But there's a difference in the return he gives to them if they don't have it right, and the return he gives to them if they do have it right. If you know God as he is and what he is, and you remember him that way with full recognition, then you have the full return. And then the point that I think is also very interesting, if you have full, beautiful sincerity in everything, but you do not recognize God as he is, it's not enough to prevent you from falling. But if you recognize God as he is and you remember him as he is, you will not fall. To me, that was a very interesting expression.
Profound.
There. Yes.
Yeah. He also warned Arjuna, and therefore us, about the dangers of going to the small gods. And people do it anyway.
The reason is because the small gods are tangible and visible. And most people do not have the capacity to conceptualize the incorporeal. Mm. It's out of range. Nothing you can do.
Mm. What touched me most about chapter 9 is that it's very clear that even if they are born of those whose wombs are evil, through remembrance, they will be purified, reformed. The remembrance of God has that much power?
That much power, yes.
Yeah, that is astounding.
In other words, God is not concerned with your parentage or whatever. He will say, okay, that's just your karmic accounts. Let me talk to you independently of your karmic accounts. And if you, no matter what your parentage is, if you love God with depth and with sincerity, he's right there for you.
Sister Denise, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, even though they may read, understand, believe, and want to practice what is contained in chapter 9, they think, I am my karmic accounts.
Yes, that's right, they do.
And that, Sister Denise, is the proverbial ball and chain that holds millions of us back. Millions. Mm. And that is why I think we idolize the few who in this book are called the saints and the sage, who can live a free, spiritually free life. But the rest of us think, my karmic accounts is who I am. Would you be able to help the viewer unmesh himself from that illusion?
Again, you have to really go to what's known as your original stage, which is absolute purity. And then whatever has occurred over the course of many lives, look at it as destiny. Okay, it happened. So that you can then become dispassionate, detached even from your own actions, because your actions have created your karmic accounts, and you, the soul, performed them, so you did create your karma. But okay, you create debt, you settle the debt, it's neutral, you see. But do not fuse yourself or confuse yourself with your actions.
I like that expression, do not fuse and confuse yourself with your actions. Yes, so you're saying we not our actions? Are we our words and are we our thoughts?
Well, we think thoughts, we speak words and we write words and we perform actions. Mm. They are acts which may lead to profit or loss. If they lead to profit, you get wealth. If they lead to loss, you get in debt, you have to pay. It's a financial matter.
I'm glad you mentioned the law of karma, Sister Denise, because everyone who goes to God does so with baggage, lots and lots and lots of baggage. And sometimes the baggage blocks God, which is part and parcel of the karma.
I think not sometimes, always.
Always. How do you see? Do you just push the bags aside and say, God, are you there?
You can push the bags aside and have a peep, but then they yeah. come back.
Yeah.
And so you have to deal with the baggage. And that's why a long period of time engaged in spiritual practice is very useful, because it takes time to get rid of the baggage. Baggage is excess weight, you see,
yeah.
Which is like debt. And you, you know, it's not that you have somebody who'll say, okay, I'll just forgive you your debts, don't worry, let's go. No, you cannot get away from them. You have to pay them. You can pay them by suffering, you can pay them by yoga, you know, this sort of thing, but they have to be paid.
We will leave that subject there, because I think the law of karma is so deep, and you've dropped a few bombs in this series as regards the law of karma, so I'd like to do an entire episode on that subject alone. Are there any thoughts that you would want to leave with the viewer before we say goodbye to you, including what, in your opinion, is the essence of chapter 9 that God wanted Arjuna to know?
I think it's this, that a rule of life, you know, if you want to have a successful life, no matter what's going on, do everything in remembrance of God. Eat in remembrance of God, walk along in remembrance of God, talk to people in remembrance of God, go to sleep in remembrance of God, take a bath in remembrance of God. This is really the karma yogi. And do everything in God's remembrance, and you will move forward very, very well.
It's hard to speak after that, Sister Denise. Well, there you go. Is there a message that is more beautiful and sweet and empowering than that? This is why this series is being done, because we felt that individuals, many millions of souls who are very familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, need to know what the true message of the Bhagavad Gita is. And Sister Denise has beautifully encapsulated the message that is contained in Chapter 9 for all of us, so that many millions of you who are at home can really take a look at your lives, a look once again at the contents of the Bhagavad Gita, and ask yourself, is this your practice? Is this your experience? Are you able to take the message that is contained in each chapter, put it into your life, and ask yourself, is this who I am? And the last few lines that Sister Denise shared about remembrance, about how one should interact with God on a moment-to-moment basis, that's very easy to understand and very doable. We all have excuses as to why we don't do it, but I think it's time to set aside the excuses and simply be with God. It is as simple as that. Be with God in your mind. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you join us today in the studio. Sister Denise, thank you. And I do hope that we get to see you soon. Take care and goodbye.